Hi, I'm Matt Welch for Reason TV. I am at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. And I'm pleased to be joined by Bob Prechter, who's the director of the Socionomics Institute and a longtime investment guru. What is socionomics and what interest does that have to all of us?
Well, socionomics is something I've been developing for about 25 years, and it's a theory of social causality. Most people default to mechanics or physics when they think about how society changes and why it changes. For example, most people would assume that the mood of the country or the population is due to events. Some politician makes a speech and that makes people feel good or feel bad, or a war starts and makes them very afraid, or peace breaks out and so everybody's happy, or a recession begins and makes everybody worried. My idea is the complete opposite causality. I think there are such things as waves of social mood. They're endogenously regulated. They happen when people interact together. And these waves are essentially polar between positive and negative mood. And as mood waxes more positive, people take certain approaches to social action. They'll buy more stocks and they'll become more productive and the economy improves. They listen to happier music. They wear flashier clothes. And when the mood is negative and trending in the other direction, they tend to sell stocks, they tend to be less productive, you get recessions and depressions, and they wear more somber colors. That was actually proposed by a university gentleman back in the 20s. And then a guy in the 60s named Ralph Rotnam sort of brought it back to the fore, and he said, you know, when stock prices are near a top, skirt lengths are very short, and when they're near a bottom, they're long. I don't think that's just data fitting luck. I think that is a way that females express their frivolity and so on when they're feeling in a positive mood, and get more somber and express that visually when they're in a negative mood. But I did notice they did their research when skirts were short both times. I think that's what woke them up.
Your interest in this, is it intellectual? It's self-interested as someone who's trying to figure out how to make maximum money in the market. What is your angle on it?
It's an intellectual pursuit. The Socionomics Institute doesn't make any money. We do have subscriptions, and we put a lot of work into what we do. We've had one paper published in the Journal of Behavioral Finance. We've got another one that's currently at a journal, and it's about the relationship of the preceding stock market movement to re-election prospects. And we went back 200 years, we did the entire data, started out with George Washington's re-election campaign in 1792. Checked all of them, and we found extremely high correlation between the 1, 2, 3, or 4 years stock market movement prior to a re-election and the outcome of that re-election. We tested unemployment, the inflation rate, and GDP. All of them were weaker. In fact, the inflation rate and unemployment had no statistical significance. Now, unemployment data only go back to 1940, it's a little harder to get significance. The others go all the way back 200 years. So we had all of those to test, and of course, my view is that if social mood is truly the driver, the stock market should be a better indicator than economic figures, because the economy lags the stock market. People, for example, when mood becomes more positive, they can buy stocks very quickly. They can respond to that mood right away. They press a button, they call a broker, and it's done quickly.
And that investment doesn't really show up, or that ability for companies to raise money easier doesn't necessarily translate.
It takes a few months.
Yeah.
If a CEO makes a positive decision, he can't effect at that moment, as a trader can. He might have to have a meeting, borrow money, get his people to agree, get an advertising campaign going, get more inventory, buy another building, who knows. But those things take time, and that's why recessions bottom about 3 to 6 months after the stock market does, and the economy tops after the stock market does. I think that's the reason for it.
So tell us, person who looks at
guru,
people's moods.
I think was the word.
Guru, where are we now in this kind of doldrums recession that's not quite a recession, in terms of that metric of kind of mood wave?
I think waves of social mood fluctuate in a fractal form, that the form is delineated by what we call the Elliott wave model. It was developed by a man named R.N. Elliott in the 1930s. And it's hierarchical, so that there are smaller waves are components of the next larger and the next larger and so on. According to the work that we've been doing, in fact, according to all the people that have been using the model since Elliott himself in 1934, the peak that we saw in 2000/2007 is one of the biggest we've had in a long, long time. It's more important than the top in 1929. We think it's equivalent to what England had at the South Sea bubble peak in 1720. So this was a period of extreme optimism by many, many measures. For example, dividend payouts in stocks or the PE ratios, percentage of cash in mutual funds, dwarfed anything that had ever been
on. So optimism has translated on that stock level, which is what you're primarily. So it's not necessarily the population.
Actually, the population reflected it in many ways as well. I mean, you know, you had the comeback of bubblegum music and boy bands and that whole thing, just as you had the English British invasion in the mid-60s. You know, those are major peak phenomena, and you don't get those at major lows. So that extreme optimism was a message to us saying, this is a major time. When you have extreme optimism, you don't keep going. You start looking for a reversal. And we've seen one of the most important manifestations of that optimism was the extreme growth in debt. The creditors believed they'd be paid eventually, and the debtors thought they could pay it off. And that's beginning to have consequences. That extreme optimism has consequences because most of that debt is now in trouble. And that is part of the basis, so-called fundamental basis, along with the change in psychology that we think is developing, has been developing since 2000/2007, toward the negative pole of social mood. So we're heading down that slope, and you can see it manifest in a lot of ways. Some debt isn't being paid. You're seeing unrest in many portions of the world. You're seeing protests in the United States, regime changes in the Middle East. We're starting to get that bubbling, boiling feeling that's kind of reminiscent of the 30s or the 70s, and that's the environment we're heading into.
Is this the kind of thing that can last another decade or another two decades, or you know, or is
for sure
come to some kind of boil in
there's
6 months?
Since it's a fractal form, it's not really tied to specific time lengths. Sometimes these things drag out over a long period of time. Sometimes they're very, very swift. We had a really fast crash from 1929 to 1932. It's fewer than 3 years. But the sideways sort of playing out period really lasted about 20 till 1949. Lots of mayhem in that period. Hitler took over Germany. Stalin starved people in the Ukraine. Mao took over in China. Really rotten stuff was happening. And in the decades that followed, the mood was so positive. We had peace treaties around the world. We had the UN cooperating, and we had apologies among major religions and amazing things happening in the 80s and 90s. That was the positive peak. And now we're heading back in the other direction. It'll probably last a while, but sometimes there are rapid crashes and other times they're just very long playing out periods, such as Japan's been experiencing since 1989.
So final question before we go. What should we be looking at? What are the preliminary indicators of where we are in this moment of the fractal?
The preliminary indicators were the periods of optimism and the things people were doing to express it. So it was in 2002, and I wrote a book called Conquer the Crash, saying there's so much optimism that we're going to go the other direction for a while. It's built up so much debt, that's a serious problem. I wrote a very bullish book along with A.J. Frost in 1978 when everybody was doom and gloom and all the books were negative. And we said, no, this is the signs of a low. We're going to have probably a roaring 20s type thing. And even what happened was way bigger than we thought. We thought the Dow would get all the way to 3,000 or 4,000.
It must have been rough 14. First 4 years of that book's reception, right? I mean, if you're...
Right. So it didn't bottom to 82. And I think my Conquer the Crash book was probably about 4 years early because real estate didn't top out till 06. But we saw the preliminary things, and most people extrapolate linearly, and we extrapolate according to this fractal model. It's completely different. So when other people see all these things, they put out books like Real Estate's the Way to Get Rich Forever, and Property you can get rich too, and stocks are going to, let's see, 36,000 was one of them, 40,000, one title was 100,000.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right, and they were all near the peak. And so we put those up as examples of optimism. And why we were very bearish. We were the opposite. We were pessimistic about the future. But I'm a few years less pessimistic because things have gone down. Real estate's down 45%, commodities are down 40%, stocks are down about 20-25%. So we're heading in that direction. And at some point, I think we're going to see people hate stocks and say they'll never buy a plot of land again the rest of their lives. And that'd be one of the greatest buying opportunities of all time when everybody else is negative. We hope so.
So we'll just wait for you to write your next book, and then 4 years later it's going to kick into...
My whole life's been one cycle. I got in the business in 1975, and I'll probably retire about the time we hit bottom. The old days, you get a cycle every 4 years. It was a lot of fun. So if I'm in it long enough, maybe I'll write one more book and say, this is a good time to buy. Thanks and goodbye.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Bob Proctor, Socionomics. For Reason TV, I am Matt Welch.